106.7 Kennet Radio.
I'm Kirsty from Newbury Women's Rugby, and I listen to Kennet Radio.
Thank you very much indeed, Kirsty. On Saturday Chat Today Now, we're going to talk about a landmark church in Newbury and the link between Christianity and today's Newbury Pride March. Earlier, I spoke with the Reverend Gary Collins from St John's Church in Newbury.
Good afternoon, Gary.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Nice to see you.
First of all, just introduce us to your church, if you would.
So this is St John's Church, or I represent St John's Church. I'm the vicar here down in South Newbury on the roundabout, the one that's nearest to Halfords. And then we work in partnership with St George's Church, which is further up the road in Wash Common, the white Italianate one. There, that's a very beautiful church, and we're the big bricky one.
And on those bricks, tell us about the history of the church, because it's quite unusual and also traumatic.
Yeah, it is a traumatic history. It was originally built as a church in the 1800s, an Anglo-Catholic church, which I might explain in a bit. But in the war, it was bombed and totally destroyed by a passing German bomber. So there was a big effort to rebuild it, and it was reconsecrated in 1955. It's a new build. It carries trauma. It carries some of the trauma of this part of town, actually. You know, we have the bombing memorial just over the road, and lots of people know it, and I still meet people who recollect the day, a traumatic day, you're right.
And it's been rebuilt in an unusual style for a church, with a brick lover's heaven, I would call it.
Yeah, the architect was Stephen Dykes Bauer, and he seemed to have a thing about working with brick, so there's a lot of bricks here, as you'll see on the outside, but also if you came inside, you'd see all the brickwork there. It's beautiful brickwork, absolutely fantastic. It's like a work of art, the way it's done. In fact, some of it is a bit mind-boggling as to how can you do that with bricks. So it's well worth a visit and having a look at it. It's an incredible place. And it's in a kind of traditional style, a Romanesque style, in architectural terms. But many people who walk inside say they never thought it would be like it is on the inside. So they enjoy it, and they like the space and find it a very peaceful and beautiful space.
We're on Pride Day, and there's been a lot of debate in the Church of England about the subject of same-sex blessings and so forth. What's your view?
Well, as you say, there's been a lot of debate. It's a very divisive issue, unfortunately, in the church at the minute. I personally have always held a very inclusive and affirming view of sexuality and gender. In fact, all human diversity. I mean, I'm in my 50s. I became an adult in the 80s and 90s. I witnessed the prejudice around HIV and AIDS. I saw all those kind of nasty so-called comedies on TV. But then also I lived through the emergence of things like disco and behind that, the Stonewall movement, Bronski Beat, Tom Gunn's poetry, and same-sex representations in the media, and witnessed, I think, that changing tide of understanding and opinion and the diversity of people's lives. And I saw it also in friends. I saw it in friendships of people that I knew, witnessed and supported them, and that whole growing cultural appreciation that we seem to have recognised now in social justice and inclusion and diversity. So that's me, that's where I stand. And as I grew up, I said I sort of grew also towards Christianity. I recognised in Jesus something of the insistence that God has always sided with the marginalised and with the oppressed. And the Jesus that I'm inspired by crossed cultural boundaries in order to bring restoration and dignity and worth to outsiders, to like women or people with disabilities, or the people who are hungry and helpless and harassed. And there are many more that we can say, even today, sadly, who are marginalised and ostracised simply because of who they are, the things they cannot change. So for me, personally speaking, LGBTQ plus affirmation is not the only stage where the call for justice emerges, but it's a significant part of the whole, alongside the end to violence, to care for the environment, the rights of disabled people, and the challenge to overcome racial and ethnic prejudice. So sexual exploitation as well, and abuse and economic injustice. I'm strongly driven by that view of trying to make the world a better place. And also, you know, the recognition in many parts of the world to be LGBT can still mean prison sentences, it can mean torture or death. And even in sophisticated parts of the world, even in nice, well-meaning churches, to come out can risk exclusion and rejection. And for many, that leads to permanent trauma and tragically even suicide. So our church, St John's Church, is determined to be a church for all our parish, a place of welcome and hospitality, a place to celebrate and cherish diversity and that sacred embrace of God. And I guess that's me. That's where I stand. I'm drawn by an overwhelming sense of justice and love, a trust in a God whose nature is ever-giving love, who overcomes boundaries, who enables us all to discover the fullness of ourselves in both doubt and in delight, in surprise and wonder. And it's for all of these reasons that I'm here today supporting the Pride movement.
And the march starts at 1 o'clock. What will you be doing this afternoon?
Well, all the usual stuff, of course. Walking, flag waving, maybe a little bit of dancing if people are really lucky. I think that'll probably be it. And lots of wooing at various points as well. It's lovely to be out there. It's lovely to be part of that community. And the dog collar will be on, or remains on. And just to be representing a voice from the church that says, no, you are loved and beloved and are full of the most wondrous treasures.
So just going back to your church and the activities, you have a lot of activities going on all the time, various things. Tell us about some of those.
We have our regular church services. As I said to you, it's an Anglo-Catholic church. What that means is that we are kind of focusing quite a lot on the sacred through symbols and rituals. There's on our 10 o'clock service, there's a lot of incense thrown around. There's colourful vestments. There's a lot of movement in our prayers. So it looks kind of traditional, but I like to think we do it with a 21st century edge, maybe with a twinkle in the eye as well. I'm trying to embody something that makes sense for me and for our community, a place of wonder and delight. So that's our 10 o'clock service. We have an 8:30 service, which is much more contemplative and quiet as well on a Sunday. But we have other things going on as well. We have soup lunches for the community as sort of part of the response to cost of living crisis and, you know, the real genuine fear about cold people in cold houses. So that takes place on a Friday lunchtime. We have midday prayer and coffee on a Wednesday, where it's a place where everyone can just come in and have a chat. We have a meeting for parents on the school run or recovering from the school run on Friday mornings, and everyone's invited to that as well. And on the last Saturday of every month as well, we also do something called Songs of Ascent, which is, we call it a mini pilgrimage, where we walk from the church up to St. Michael and All Angels in Embourne. It takes us about 4 hours to get up there and back, and anyone would be welcome to join us for that as well. And maybe the last thing to say, which is of interest, well, actually other things to say, is we also have a ladies fellowship for ladies in the community, and we also have something called Forest Church, which we hold up at St. Michael and All Angels in Embourne as well, a church that we've got very close relationships with. And that's a fun thing that we meet outside, whatever the weather, and we think about the divine, about God through the wisdom of nature and the seasons and the turning of the leaves and all of that. And it's a beautiful and wonderful time for families to come along and hang out.
How can people get involved with the church?
Thanks, Paul, for asking. The first thing to do is just wander in if ever you want to. Generally, we say that if the flag is flying outside that says welcome, then I'm usually around or someone's around to say hello and have a chat and maybe share a cup of tea. So it's a space. It's a space for prayer. So more than anything else, a quiet, reflective space. If someone wants to come in, light a candle, that's the space for you. Okay. So we're also on Facebook, on Instagram. We've got a website for St. George's and St. John's. But yeah, come along. We're trying to keep up to date with all of those kind of modes of communication. It's not always easy, but we try our best. I'd like to think that St. John's is a place of a home, a place of welcome, a place for questions and for doubts and for company on the journey and the surprise of hope.
I think you've chosen a record. Tell us about that and who you want to dedicate it to.
Yes, the song that I once did, it's Pride, isn't it? So it's got to be I Feel Love by Donna Summer. And I would dedicate it to my family, who are the making of me and the holding of me. But yeah, Donna Summer, what a tune.